We are gathered at the Clerk of Courts in Lucas County, Toledo, Ohio, taking the rainbow back. In just a few minutes, we're going to be dispersing in groups to talk about the true meaning of the rainbow that surrounds God's throne, showing His glory, His beauty, His majesty. Notice all the people here. They're all eager to take a stand for the Lord. It's going to be a great day. We're praying that God will bring people into His kingdom, that those that are confused and trapped in an LGBTQ lifestyle will find Jesus and find something that brings them peace and order in their lives. So this is going to be a great time, taking the rainbow back, Collective Action Weekend. This one's happening in Toledo, Ohio, but people are doing it all over the United States in their own locations. Praise God. What you just saw were people from all over the country that participated in the Collective Action Weekend for taking the rainbow back for the glory of God. Honey, you were there for that weekend. How did you feel about it?
It was awesome. You know, I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me and it was, He was telling me, you know, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, because we got all excited about the event. You know, we're going to the event. You have all these great expectations, but the Holy Spirit was saying, no, this is just the beginning of a movement. So it starts here, but He was showing me that it was going to be growing. It was a growing thing, because it needed to keep expanding as people are needy and hungry and needed to know and to come into what this movement's all about.
Amen. We had people join the movement at the event, July 28th through the 30th, our first Taking the Rainbow Back Collective Action Weekend. And again, what you just saw, I want to thank you that participated.
Yes.
We had people, honey, all over the country, that collection of pictures, us people all over the country. We had some pastor run into, he was in, I think, Tampa, Florida. He ran into another pastor from a part of Florida 2 hours away. That pastor was wearing the t-shirt too. So we had groups get aboard and individuals, like some of you that are watching right now, participate in making a difference to take a stand for the light of God's glory, which kind of leads us to the question, you know, why the rainbow? What's significant about the rainbow? The rainbow is the symbol, right? The rainbow is the symbol, first of all, of a covenant that God made. It was the sign that God gave Noah in Genesis 9:16. It was a covenant of mercy.
Yes.
God said to Noah, I'm never going to destroy the earth again with the flood. It was the Lord's mercy, and the rainbow was the sign of that covenant of mercy.
And it's interesting, because what was it, what preceded the rainbow? It was that there was so much wickedness on the earth. Man was just going a trajectory that was apart from God, that was leading to death, destruction, violence. And so as He wiped it all out and wanted to start all over again, He wanted purity, He wanted righteousness, He wanted everything in alignment with life and not a trajectory of death. And that's what the whole rainbow is, like this covenant promise with His people that He is covering us. He has love for us. And He just wants us to follow life.
Amen. You know, you think about this, the wickedness during the time of Noah, which caused the earth to, the Lord to cleanse the earth of wickedness. Mm-hmm. It was really, when it gets down to it, it's really about pride. I mean, that was Satan's first sin as pride.
Right.
So when we say taking the rainbow back, one of the things we're saying is we're reclaiming the glory in the earth for God's purposes rather than for man's purposes, because as we all know, it's become a symbol of LGBTQ pride. It's the Pride Month, right, in June. So it's important that we recognize that the rainbow is very much a part of the manifestation, not of some sexual spectrum as it is so associated with in our culture today.
Right.
Because we're not just sexual beings, beyond sexual beings, we're human beings.
Yes.
But it's not about, obviously, that. It's about the revelation of God's glory. You see, not only do we find the rainbow in Genesis 9, but when Ezekiel saw the Lord in the first chapter of Ezekiel, he said there was a glory around the presence of the Lord like a rainbow. And finally, when we get to heaven, those of us that know the Lord, we're going to find that the Lord's throne, Revelation 4:3, is surrounded by a rainbow. So this is important.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm going to show you some interviews now. And this first interview that I'm going to show you is going to just highlight how confused our culture is and why the Lord needs us to stand up to speak truth and take the rainbow back. Let's watch. So divine intelligence and divine order is that sexual intimate relations are between a man and a woman, male and female, for the purpose of having children to fill the earth and multiply. But obviously that can't be done in homosexual relationships.
Well, it can be done. It's more on a scientific level, more of an elevation of the brain. I'm trying to say evolution.
Okay, but in terms of actual physical procreation of children, two women can't have a baby through their intimate relations.
That's what I'm saying. Through evolution, it can be possible.
Oh, you're thinking that mankind will eventually evolve to the place where two women will be able to have babies?
Through science, yes.
You're thinking that somehow women will eventually be able to maybe secrete sperm?
Possibly, yes. I'm just more so saying through evolution, through science, as better as it gets throughout time, possibilities are endless.
Okay. So are you part of the LGBTQ community?
Yes.
Okay. Was this something that was you were aware of at a very early age? How was it? Was your earliest memory as it would have same-sex attraction?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So, I mean, I do have attraction to women too, but I just prefer not to. That's not what I would go shit for.
So I'm only trying to understand. So are you saying that you have? Are you saying that you could identify as bisexual then?
I could.
Yeah.
But I'd prefer not to.
Okay.
I label myself as gay. But I mean, there was a time I wanted children badly, and I grew not to want as badly.
Right.
It gets really difficult. With religion and war and school and all that, it's really difficult.
Do you feel peace with your lifestyle?
I feel peaceful, but at the same time, I'm lonely.
You're lonely?
Yeah, but I'm always lonely.
It's very important for me, for you to know that when we go out and talk to people and communicate God's love to people and his will for mankind in regards to male and female and human sexuality, that I am going, beloved ones, with a heart of love, compassion, and empathy. I care about these people. I am deeply grieved about what's going on. So, Cynthia Marjorie, I think sometimes believers, Christians, have gone out and they've kind of just condemned people in the LGBTQ lifestyle,
right,
but there hasn't been love.
Right. And that's what I think we saw, is the heart of the Lord that's within you, that's seeking to try to understand where they're at. You know, when Yeshua would speak to the people, he knew their hearts, and he would speak to their hearts. And I think that's what we're after. We're after trying to understand the hearts, trying to get the mind of Yeshua on where these people are coming from. How does the Lord want to reach them through us? What words would penetrate? And you know, in this young man, he clearly, he said he was lonely. There was a longing and a need. And we know that the only way that can be fulfilled is in the Lord and in coming in alignment with the Lord. And so as we saw, people are confused. People are confused, and they are in need of Yeshua to be their Savior, to be the light, to reveal the truth and the way that will bring forth joy and happiness and feed their soul, so they won't have that deep loneliness that this man had.
Yeah. It's really interesting that there was such delusion and deception going on in his mind that what he was saying, you caught it, was that he literally felt that through science, society was coming to a place where two women would be able to come together,
right,
and produce a child biologically.
You know, it reminds me of man trying to create a Tower of Babel, you know, creating their own way instead of in alignment with God's way.
Right.
You know, he said after the flood, put the rainbow and said, be fruitful and multiply. And he had animals, two by two, a male and a female. He, you know, it was very clear, male and a female, be fruitful and multiply. And now it's man is just going off on their own tangent.
Well, you know, the scripture teaches that when people won't receive a love of the truth, God literally, the book of Thessalonians tells us, sends upon them a deluding influence that they would believe a lie. And that's unfortunately what is going on. You know, I came to a place with this young man where I asked him if he would like to come into agreement with Jesus and ask the Lord to come into his heart and to rewire him and to come into a saving relationship with himself, with the Lord. And the man declined that offer for us to pray together. But you know what? We planted seeds.
That's it.
And we did it in a way that was loving, that was clear.
Yes.
And you never know what God is going to do
after
you speak his word. Because he comes on after and he does things that produce signs and wonders in people's life that bring them to a knowledge of the truth, confirming the word that was witnessed to them, that we witnessed to him in this case.
Amen, amen.
So we're going to go on now to another video. And it was amazing the people that we ran into as we walked through downtown Toledo. It was just amazing who the Lord led us to.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you watch this clip first, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards.
I had a gender assignment surgery at 2 months old. I didn't find out until I was 30.
Okay.
So what
do you exactly mean by that, a gender assignment surgery when you were two?
Well, I had four gonads when I was born, and so they did a surgery and took one of them out. The other one, they didn't until I became much older. So later, when I developed, I had some female internal organs, but mainly male external organs.
Okay.
So I'm like, kind of like, what, maybe something is to what we can be actually trying to figure out what this is, you know? But we don't teach it that way. You know, we're teaching you could just choose what you want to be, you know?
So when the Lord said, God created us in his own image, male and female, he created he them. So do you believe that there are actually only two genders? That it's not just a spectrum of your gender can be anything you want it to be, and it can be a combination of maleness and femaleness? Or do you believe what the Bible says, that there are only two genders, male and female?
Well, I think as far as like a part and a counterpart, two things that fit together smoothly would be like a male and a female.
Right.
I think there is a lot of confusion going on. When they say you can just choose what you want to be, you know, as far as reproduction goes, you know, if you give a child, then you're a male. If you receive the child, then you are a female. I think that's kind of getting mixed up with, you know, the way we want to look, the way we appear, the way we feel.
As I indicated earlier in the broadcast, the Lord really directed us who to talk to. Think about it, honey. We talked to four people, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the first people we ran into were living in a gay lifestyle.
Yeah.
Then we talked to a man that had sexual assignment surgery.
Yeah.
What was the probability of us running into somebody that had sexual assignment surgery?
Yeah.
What was beautiful about this man was that he was clear-minded. He, in fact, he was a man of faith. He was actually watching Discovering the Jewish Youth. He recognized me and said, hey, I want to talk to you. I see you on television.
Yeah. That's what was striking to me that day, was there was not a lot of people out in the streets, but God directed us very strategically to specific individuals. We could just feel his hand on the whole direction that he took us and the people that we encountered. So that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What's really interesting is that, you know, this man that we interviewed, he, if anyone could have been confused about their gender, you know, you could say it might have been him because, you know, again, he was born with both male and female sex organs and had to have surgery in order to manifest the biological qualities of being fully male, which he is right now.
Right.
But he recognized that science and God's purposes are not necessarily always the same thing. In other words, he could have said, oh, I'm hermaphrodite, you know, which is someone that says they're both male and female. But instead he said, no, you know, I had this issue. He understood, I think, that it was because of sin, not his own sin or his parents' sin, but sin that has entered the world.
Yeah.
and has caused the creation to be broken. I mean, in the same way that people can be born as Siamese twins, most of you know what that is, where somebody or two people are born and they're literally connected to each other, sharing the same body parts.
Right.
Why does that happen?
Right.
Because sin affected creation.
Mm-hmm.
But this man had the sense of mind to recognize that even though there was some confusion in his biological birth, that was taken care of through surgery, he still understood in the beginning, God created them male and female.
Right.
And whenever we start to mess with God's divine design, the result is chaos and destruction.
Right.
Fortunately, this man came to faith in the Lord and had a clear mind and a clear heart about his identity.
That's what was so beautiful is he recognized, oh, there is an order of life. And he came into alignment with that order of male and female and how they're counterparts and how each one plays a significant part on the direction to produce life.
Yeah, I love that. I love what he said about man gives life, a woman receives life.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, it's complicated, but that was a beautiful illustration.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, honey, the next woman that we ran into was a real encouragement to me. The mic was taken away, so there was one thing that she said that wasn't captured on the film that you're going to see in a second, but I love what she said, and probably you remember this. She said, you're doing it. Keep doing it.
That's it,
And that's what goes along with what you said, Cynthia Marjorie, is that this is not just an event. This is a movement.
Yeah.
It's continuing on. Take the rainbow back. TakingTheRainbowBack.com. Let's take a look at this clip. So that's what we're here doing today. We're reclaiming the rainbow as the covenant that the Lord gave to humanity and as a symbol of his glory and power and majesty and beauty. But as you know, so many people today, like yourself, people of faith, they're afraid to associate with the rainbow.
They are. I know. Yes, it's so true. We can't stand by and let it get taken over because it is a symbol of mercy and our great God and how loving he is. And we'll stand for what he stands for. But we will, even when it means standing against, you know, what the culture says is fine, but we say God's word says that's wrong. And we can do it in love. Like, we don't have to do it in a hateful spirit. And I think that's what's so important. It's like, let me tell you why it's special. And let me show you what God says in his word.
You know, we need to do it in love and in mass. Because if enough people will start wearing rainbow t-shirts, the seven rainbow, colored rainbow, with scripture on it, then all of a sudden when you see somebody wearing a rainbow t-shirt, you're not just going to assume that they're part of the LGBTQ movement.
Well, it's funny. So my daughter, as we were walking in, as we were pulled in to drop our foster daughters off, she's like, oh, it looks like it's a bunch of rainbows. So her immediate thought was that it was that. And so then as you guys were all walking past, like I was trying to read on there, I'm like, oh, that says taking the rainbow back. I'm like, I know what that means. So I love what you're doing.
Amen.
It's so great. Thank you for doing it. Yeah, I wish I had I know, I want a shirt. Like, I have to go online and check you guys out.
Yeah, takingtherainbowback.com. You know? That was so encouraging
to
run into somebody that was like a cheerleader that was saying, keep going. What you're doing is so important. And you know, Cynthia Marjorie, my love, I think the greatest amount of testimony that I have heard coming from people that have been exposed to this movement, particularly from people of faith, is thank you for doing this because I didn't realize that I was compromised, that I had been intimidated, that I had been made silent, that I was just allowing this pride movement, this LGBTQ movement to roll over even me, that I wasn't taking a stand, that I wasn't speaking up. But when I saw what you were doing and I heard you speaking, whether it be YouTube, television, or whatever, or even looking at the church, they said, I was challenged to take a stand and to come out of compromise.
Yes. And I just felt from the Holy Spirit that he was saying, listen, keep doing what you're doing. That's what she actually told us. Keep doing what you're doing and keep going forward. And she was so excited to see that we were out in the streets doing it, that we were out in the open. We weren't intimidated and afraid to proclaim the word of God, to proclaim the rainbow for how God created it. And we are running into that all over. I know we were just out west. And there was a man who came up and he said, I've seen you. He says, I believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then he said, I got to get my wife. And his wife came over and they said, keep doing what you're doing, that we're really encouraged. And you could tell, it's almost like they're whispering. It's like Christians have been whispering and inside, knowing that something hasn't been right, but they're afraid to speak out. And they're excited that somebody has taken the torch as yourself and going forward. We need a leader, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think Christians are all excited because inside they know it's the truth. They know it's the truth. They know it's for such a time as this, we need to stand up. We need to take the torch. We need to put the banner of the covenant rainbow out there for all that are lost to come into.
Amen, amen. Yeah. The beauty of the Lord. It's around His throne, Revelation 4:3.
Yes.
Now, this last interview that we're going to show, honey, illustrates that it was not just you and I and our small team that were having all these encounters. There was about 70 of us in Toledo that went out that day. And I'm going to show a clip now. Let's watch.
We also had another encounter right here. As a matter of fact, I think Deshaun right here, he has a shirt on. He did not come with us today. Right here, Deshaun. Rip, put your hand up.
I want to share this about Deshaun. So, like he's saying, he just seen us over here gathered, Rabbi.
He looks good in that shirt,
he
too.
He does, doesn't he? So, he came over here and heard you sharing and then said, man, I want to go out with you guys. So, that's we gave him a shirt and sent him out with the group.
I wanted to join the movement. This is a great ideal. I love what y'all are doing here. And I want you to keep going and keep doing what you're doing, because this is a great thing, a great deed that you're doing out here. You know, I put on a shirt to join the movement because it helped bring my mind back, because my mind was so wrapped up into the world about what the rainbow really meant. So today, you guys helped me remember what the rainbow is really for.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well said, buddy. Well said. Isn't that awesome? I love that guy, and he had such a great face, such a pleasant persona about him. Before we begin to wrap up, I want to just make a couple comments that I think are really, really important. People that find themselves living in the LGBTQ lifestyle are living a very hard and lonely life. I do believe, as I've stated before, that because of sin, some folks are born with same-sex attraction. I do believe that psychologically, some people have what is called sexual dysphoria. In other words, biologically they're a man, but in their mind they feel like they're a woman. These are very tough, acute, critical conditions. But here is the good news. Jesus came to save us from our sin. When we give our life to Yeshua, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit being infused into our souls through God's Word that gives us the ability, brothers and sisters, to rise up and live above the power of sin and above the power of natural inclinations. In other words, if someone was born with same-sex attraction, they're not doomed to have to live that kind of lifestyle. Jesus gives us the power to live above our own inclinations, to deny our own fleshly appetites. We all have to do that,
right,
to live in obedience to Him.
Yes.
And beyond that, when we receive Jesus, you know what happens? Old things pass away, all things become new, and we receive a new nature because we are now born again in Him.
Yes.
I want to ask those of you that are being touched right now to support this ministry. It cost us over $1 million to do this outreach. We didn't make 1 cent on it. We made the shirts available for $12 at the time. Every time we send somebody a shirt, it cost us money. We had to subsidize the cost of the shirts because they actually cost more than $12 to make and send out, etc. It cost us a lot of money. I want to ask you, if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe this is a worthy cause, if you believe in me and the point of discovering the Jewish Jesus, which is to preach the whole gospel, which affects every area of our life all around the world through television, radio, the internet, on-the-ground crusades, and the different type of things that you just saw focused on today, would you please open your heart and financially make an offering to the Lord through this ministry? You'll be blessed for the fruit that's being born and because you are obedient to the Lord.